Morning. Okay, so we're going to be reading off of chapter 14, Pictures of Eternal Truths. Are you all ready? Yeah? So before we dive into it, let's go ahead and talk about and give a little bit of a review. So from last week, do you remember last week? Yep. Okay, I have a few questions. So what were some of the purposes of the plagues? Yes. So basically to judge the sins of the Egyptians and their false gods, to display God's awesome power, to win fame for God's name among the nations, and to redeem the Israelites for their slavery. So the next question is, what is meant by the phrase, the finger of God? Is that a literal thing or? Right. So it does not refer to an actual finger, but it is a figure of speech that points to God's miraculous power. All right, and so we're going to go ahead and read, if you will, turn to Exodus chapter 9. We're going to read verses 1 through 12. So the fifth plague, Egyptian livestock die. So then the Lord said to Moses, Go to Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will fall with a very severe plague upon your livestock that are in the field, the horses, the donkeys, the camels, the herds, and the flocks. But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so that nothing of all that belongs to the people of Israel shall die. And the Lord set a time, saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. And the next day the Lord did this thing. All the livestock of the Egyptians died, but not one of the livestock of the people of Israel died. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, that not one of the livestock of Israel was dead, but the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take handfuls of soot from the kiln and let Moses throw them in the air and in the sight of Pharaoh. It shall become fine dust over all land of Egypt and become boils breaking out in sores on man and beast throughout all of the land of Egypt. So they took soot from the kiln and stood before Pharaoh. And Moses threw it in the air, and it became boils breaking out in sores on man and beast. All right. So how many plagues were there mentioned? It's a tough question. All right. So what was the fifth plague the Lord sent on Egypt? What? Spores? Sores? That was actually the sixth plague. Exactly. So the fifth plague was a very severe disease on the farm animals of the Egyptians. Many of their farm animals died. This was a heavy blow because the Egyptians depended on their farm animals for food and money. So what was the sixth plague the Lord sent on Egypt? The sores, yep. So the painful boils that broke out in sores on the Egyptians and their animals. Last question. So what happened to Pharaoh? Pharaoh's magicians in the sixth plague. Exactly. They too were struck with painful boils and could no longer fight against Moses. So let's reflect for a little bit. The main idea, God continues to picture eternal truths by means of the plagues in the Exodus story. As well as we reflect on today's reading, it would be helpful to pause and think about the big picture. The Exodus story is a picture of salvation. Pharaoh is a picture of the devil. Egypt is a picture of this present evil world. Israel is a picture of the church. The plagues are a picture of God's judgment on the world for its sin. The deliverance of the Israelites is a picture of the eternal salvation of God's chosen people through the blood of Christ. We call this concept typology. That's a tough word, right? Typology. So it's a big word. Maybe So maybe an illustration would help. Imagine if your parents wanted to move to a faraway place that is very beautiful. It would be a great place to live, and you really, really want to move there. But first, your dad travels ahead of the family. He takes pictures of the place, the land, the house you'll live in, the people there, and sends you the pictures. You can see it all, and you get excited. Day after day, you love to look at those pictures and think about all the wonderful things you enjoy in that place. Kind of reminds me of when we moved over here. I came here first, this wonderful place. And I really mean that. I really mean that. I took pictures and I took video of the river, and it was beautiful. I mean, it still is beautiful, but I would send them to the kids and my wife. And but yeah, the pictures doesn't, they don't represent the place, right? Because they're not the place. They only represent the place, right? And so they give you an idea of what it's like, but not perfectly. It is only when you move to that place that you can fully enjoy all of its delights. That is what typology is like in the Old Testament. It gives us pictures of the future glories of God's people. These pictures are helpful and accurate, but they aren't as good as the place itself. God's sovereign control and holy judgment revealed in these continuing plagues on Egypt point to greater eternal truths beyond the events themselves. The Egyptians worshipped a goddess that took the form of a cow, and one of their most prized gods was a bull called Apis. The plague on the farm animals showed the Lord's power over these false gods. Ultimately, the plagues pointed to the time when Jesus Christ would come, live, die, rise again, and come back to judge and destroy the idols of this world. Christ is the center of the Bible's message, the one to whom God's judgments on Egypt and deliverance of Israel point. So, a couple of questions. Remember that fancy word? What is typology? Yep. So it refers to the people, places, things, and events in the Old Testament that God uses as pictures to point us forward to Christ and his salvation. And the last question, what future person and event did the plagues point God's people to? Trick question. No, that's an easy, one. So to Jesus, right? So they pointed forward to Christ, the one greater than Moses, who would judge God's enemies and deliver God's people by way of a greater exodus. All right, let's bow our head and pray. So, dear Heavenly Father, so thank you again for this teaching, Lord. And we ask that you open our eyes and behold the glories of Christ in the Old Testament and be transformed into true worshipers. Please accept this worship that is pleasing to you, Lord. I pray for the message that that is prepared today, Lord. Let it reach our hearts and touch our hearts, Lord, and let us be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. And it is in Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen.